بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 10th of January in the year 2018 Alhamdulillah we've completed the first month the 30th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu and I'm suddenly going through the stage where the apostasy has taken place and we've reached the stage where Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu has been given the mandate by Abu Bakr radiyallahu to deal with Tulayha and also Malik ibn Nuwayra. And the last thing I mentioned was 1,500 warriors were added from the Tay and Jadila tribe, which boosted Sayyidina Khalid's numbers even further, radiyallahu. So the next section is entitled, The Battle of Buzakha. The stage for the Battle of Buzakha was now set. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu, now with around 6,000 men, faced Tulayha, the imposter, the strength of whose army was much more than that of the believers. So again, the odds were in favor of the apostates. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu, he commanded the Muslims in person and stood ahead of his corps. Tulayha, however, appointed Uyayna, i.e. the one-eyed chief of one of the powerful clans of Ghatafan, to command his army in the center, which stood the 700 warriors of Uyayna's tribe, the Banu Fazal. So simply put, Khalid ibn Walid is in the forefront, ready to engage, radiyallahu. The false prophet has put Uyayna in charge. He's in the middle and he's got his 700 warriors with him. The imposter sat in a tent a short distance behind his army, his head wrapped in a scarf and a cloak draped over his shoulders. He stated he was being directed by Jibreel. So just like the donkey, wallah, obviously the false prophets are mentioning, they're getting revelation. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu immediately launched an attack on the entire front. For some time the apostates resisted stubbornly, especially the 700 warriors of Banu Fazal. But, alhamdulillah, after a while, the pressure of the Muslims began to tell and dents appeared in the apostate line. So they engaged, the battle was fierce, and within some time, the Muslims now had the upper hand. Uyayna, alarmed at the severity of the Muslim attack, he rode to Tulayha's tent, hoping that divine guidance would come to their aid. And he asked, has Jibreel come to you? Alayhi salatu wasalam. Tulayha replied with a simple no. Uyayna thus returned to the battle. As the believers, radiyallahu ta'ala, drove further into the apostate ranks, Uyayna returned to Tulayha and asked now with more desperation, has Jibreel come to you now? Alayhi salatu wasalam. The reply this time was, no, by Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uyayna once again returned to the battle. So now here, if you look at this narrative, you get the impression that Tulayha is not even fighting. But to be fair to Tulayha, he had also actively participated in the battle. How do we know? Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayh, he said, in Bayhaqi, volume 8, page 175, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 679 of the New English Translation. Tulayha was a furious fighter and martyred both Sayyidina Uqasha ibn Mihsan and Sayyidina ibn Arqam on that day. So Imam Zuhri, Abu Bakr ibn Shahab al-Zuhri, he said he participated in this battle. He was a tremendous skilled warrior and two companions were martyred due to him. Uqasha and Ibn Arqam, radiyallahu anhu. Indeed, the false prophet also rebuked his men when they were being defeated. In Bayhaqi, volume 8, page 175, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 679 of the New English Translation, Imam Zuhri, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, when Tulayha saw how badly defeated his troops were, he exclaimed, "Shame on you all! Why are you being defeated so?" One of his men thereupon said, "I shall inform you of the reason for our being defeated. Namely, there is not a single man amongst us who does not want his companion to be killed before him. But on the other hand, we are fighting people who would love to be killed before their companions." So very interesting. So Tulayha is rebuking his force. He goes, "Why are you being defeated?" And one of the men actually told him. He goes, "Because they want to die first. Death is more beloved to them than life. But for us, life is more beloved." Thus, keeping all the reports in mind, it appears that Tulayha was going back and forth to the battlefront, and his tent, from which he was giving the impression he was receiving divine revelation. This is how you combine the reports. The apostate ranks had by now almost collapsed. Uyayna then went for the third and final time and asked, "Has Jibreel come to you?" Alayhi salatu wasalam. This time Tulayha, he said, in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 485, "Yes." Uyayna asked him, "What did he instruct you?" Tulayha calmly replied, "Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, 'You have a handmill just like this, and this is the day that you will never forget.'" Uyayna thereupon exploded as the scale fell from his eyes. "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a day rather that you will never forget." He then dashed back to his clan and cried out, "O Banu Fazara, this man is an imposter. Disengage." So what happened? Simply put, the third time, he gave him a third chance. And obviously he had to say something this time. And he came out with a statement, which obviously, he goes, "You have a handmill just like this, and this is the day that you will never forget," meaning you're in trouble. And he goes, "This is the day you're never going to forget." And he goes, "This man is an imposter." And then his tribe, the hardcore, the Banu Fazara, the hardcore of Tulayha's center broke off. Thus the entire front thereupon quickly collapsed. The believers now began to mow down those who resisted to pieces. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 485, some hapless fugitives thereupon rushed pathetically to Tulayha, and they said, "What are your commands?" He replied, "Let those who can do as I do and save themselves and their families." With this, Tulayha and his wife sprang onto his horse and disappeared in a cloud of dust. So imagine, Prophet of God, basically left every man for themselves. The battle of Buzaha was over. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu had been victorious. The second most powerful enemy of Islam had been defeated and his forces were scattered. So now let's look at Tulayha. What happened to him? Subhanallah, Tulayha, his days as a false prophet were over and he made good his escape to Syria, i.e. the Roman lands. However, it was not long thereafter that he now heard his own tribe, the Bani Asad, had re-entered Islam. Mm-hmm. Consequently, he too took the Shahada again and rejoined his tribe. Mm-hmm. Imam Zuhri simply put it, Rahmatullah alayh, in Bayhaqi, volume 8, page 175, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 679 to 80 of the New English Translation, when the truth dawned upon Tulayha, he left the battlefield on foot and went on to embrace Islam and enter into the Ihram for Umrah. So he took the Shahada again. So now was he being sincere? So he wants to do Umrah. He thus visited Makkah, not just for the Umrah, for the Hajj, during the Khalifa of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anh. The venerable Khalif took no notice of him, just ignored him. Mm-hmm. Then around 2 years later, Tulayha visited Al-Madinah and came to see the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar, radiallahu anh. Who, as is but obvious, could not forgive us easily. And Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 489, it is related. On seeing Tulayha, Umar radiallahu anhu's anger kindled. And he says, you killed two noble companions, including Uqasha ibn Mihsan. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will never love you. Tulayha had a subtle wit. He responded, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah the Almighty blessed them with paradise with this hand, whilst I did not benefit by this. I seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning if they'd killed me, I would have gone to hell. But they benefited by this, and I ask forgiveness. Sayyidina Umar unrelenting, he said, you lied when you said that Allah the Almighty would do you no harm, because you're a liar. Tulayha responded, this arose from the mischief of unbelief, which Allah the Almighty has now destroyed. I cannot now be blamed for this. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon said, O trickster, what remains of your clairvoyance? Do you still receive revelation? He replied, nothing but a gust or two from the bellows. And then Umar remained silent, radiallahu anhu. A sense of humor was not one of Umar's strong points, and thus not being able to think of a suitable rejoinder, he left him. So now this shows that he was sincere now. He was going to the Khalifs. Abu Bakr ignored him, radiallahu. Going to Umar is not us. You've got to be a brave man to approach Umar, radiallahu. And he's basically telling him, you killed Uqasha. I'm never going to love you. So who's Uqasha? Uqasha ibn Mihsan, radiallahu. He was a Badri. What a Badr. He was the famous companion, radiallahu anhu, who the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he broke his sword. So the Prophet asked him to get a kind of a piece of stick or a branch, and he got it. And the Prophet put his hand over it, it became a sword. And he gave him the sword. So it's a miracle, he had a sword of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another very famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned 70,000 people from my ummah will enter paradise without reckoning. And he mentions qualities that they have, i.e. they put their trust in Allah, etc., etc. So then Uqasha gets up. He says, Ya Rasulullah, please make a dua that I am one of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, undoubtedly, you are one of them. Then another sahaba gets up. Ya Rasulullah, please make a dua that I am one of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uqasha has beat you. So this is a very famous hadith, same sahaba. He was bartered by Tulayha. So he was a warrior. This show today, he was a very seasoned warrior as well. So Umar goes, I'm never going to love you. How can I love you? But then he told him the obvious fight. He goes, he went to Jannat al-Firdaus with my hand. And alhamdulillah, I've done tawbah. So then Umar is trying to get him with something he can't. Obviously, because he's also a poet. And eventually, he goes, do you still receive something? He goes, nothing but a ghost or two from the bellows. Meaning, just dikar. Right? You know, like indigestion. Subhanallah, Tulayha's repentance was truly sincere. For he later volunteered for service in Iraq as a warrior. He served with distinction, performing prodigies of valor, and took part in the great encounters of Qadisiyah and Nahawand against the mighty Persians, where he ultimately fell as a martyr. He thus more than earned his redemption. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. Amen. So now, strange personalities. Umar actually then later praised him, because he is worth 1,000 men. So imagine, when he was sending reinforcements to the Persian front, because I'm sending you 1,000 men, sent to Tulayha. So this shows that Umar had a change of heart. And also, this also indicates that Uqasha was honored even more, because it was a Muslim who eventually martyred. But now, he's not a Sahaba. Anybody who apostatized in the time of the Prophet and the Prophet left the world, he loses the status of a Sahaba. But most of the ulama mentioned he's Tabi'in, because he once again re-entered Islam during the era of the Khilafah al-Rashidin. Whatever the case, he showed his sincerity. He gave his life for the deen. And this also is very important when talking about the issue of apostasy. As people start saying, take the heads off, take the heads off. If you look at the whole scenario, many people re-entered Islam. So it's not as simple as taking people's heads off. Right? They got an opportunity, they can repent. Allah Ta'ala will accept this. Now, the other person who escaped, what about the one-eyed chieftain of Banu Fazada, Uyayna ibn Hiss? With regards to this infamous man, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu himself went out with one of the columns after the battle of Buzakha to pursue him and his men. Subhanallah, Sayyidina Khalid overtook him at a place called Ghamra. The two sides thereupon drew their swords, engaged in combat, in which they were promptly defeated. Uyayna ibn Hisn was taken as a prisoner. So he was trying to escape. He didn't get very far. The forces clashed again. Don't forget, he had 700 men with him. And they were defeated. He was taken a prisoner. It is said that he also re-embraced Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr Siddiq. It is related in Tabri in his Tariq 3-260 that this man had been brought in chains and had been mocked by the children of Al-Madinah, who would pass by him and they would poke him, saying, "O enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did you disbelieve after having iman?" And he would reply, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I never believed in the first place." So look how strange, he's not being poked by children. He goes, "You apostate." He says, "How can you leave the deen after seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" "I didn't believe in the first place. I didn't believe anything." Uyayna then begged Abu Bakr Siddiq for a second chance, radiyallahu, which was graciously given, to which he responded that Islam had now firmly entered his heart. So now what do we know about him? The following famous narrations mention this personality. You've heard his name, but because you're going through the seerah, you might not realize that you know he's there. In the battle of Hunain, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defeated the Bani Hawazin, and then there was huge spoils of war, and he didn't distribute those spoils because he wanted the Taif, people of Taif and the Hawazin, to embrace Islam. He'd give them back to them, but they delayed. So eventually the Prophet distributed the spoils in Ji'lana between Makkah and Taif. When he was distributing the spoils, the tribe came to embrace Islam. Too late. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then said, "I will give you back my spoils and my family." They chose their family. They didn't ask for the wealth. They wanted their family, the women, the children. Everyone, because I will ask the companions if they want to give. If they want to give, if they can't, I can't force them. So you ask the companions, "Would your brothers have come to you, repentant? If you wish, you can give back the spoils to them." They all gave it back, except two men. One of them was Uyayna. See, he's mentioned, you know, we don't even realize that these people are there. And then he goes, they asked him to give. He goes, "No, I'm not giving. Why should I give?" And eventually the Prophet negotiated with him. He goes, "Look, I will give you more in the next encounter, more. And then eventually he gave. So this is one place he's mentioned. Another famous report, he's also mentioned. Abu Bakr radiyallahu wanted to give a barren strip of land to the same man, Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fizari and Al-Aqra ibn Habis al-Tamimi. The two of them had actually asked for it, saying they wanted to develop it. So what happened? So this narration is in Bukhari in his Tariq, Kanz al-Umal, volume 2, page 189, Al-Isaba, volume 3, page 55. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu thereupon donated the land to them, and he wrote a decree in support of it. He also put down the name of Umar radiallahu anhu on it as a witness. As Umar radiallahu anhu was not present, they brought the document to him for putting his signature on it as a witness. Abu Bakr goes, "Yes, you can have the land. Nobody is using it." He goes, "But get Umar's signature." So they went. On seeing the document, Umar radiallahu anhu was enraged. He spat on it and he erased it. Both of the men then grew angry and they warned Umar radiallahu anhu, and then they went away grumblingly back to the Khalif. When they reached there, they said, "Who is the Khalif? You or Umar?" Abu Bakr replied, "In a way, he is the Khalif. For he could have become the Khalif if he wished to. But why do you ask?" And they explained, In the meantime, Umar radiallahu anhu arrived in anger and he addressed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He goes, Ya Khalifatul Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does the land you have donated to these two belong to you or to the Muslims as a whole? Abu Bakr replied, radiallahu anhu, it is the property of the Muslims as a whole, O Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon asked, what then made you reserve this piece of land for these two people, ignoring the rest of the Muslims as a whole? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied, the people around me advised me to do so, O Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said, had you consulted only the people around you, or had you sought the opinion of all the Muslims who are the real owners of the land? Abu Bakr thereupon said, O Umar, I had told you that you are stronger than me in matters of the Khilafat, but you ignored my plea and you burdened me with it. So this is a very famous report. Who's one of the two personalities? Uyayna ibn Hisam. The other one was an apostate as well, Al-Aqra ibn Habis. But now why is Umar angry? Now you know who these people are. Who the hell are you? Right? But if you just hear anything, why is Umar getting angry? Because it's just Joe Bloggs and Joe Smith. You don't know who these people are. It is important to point out that this incident might erroneously suggest that Umar radiallahu anhu was against the policy of giving out unused lands to people. But this certainly was not the case. Umar radiallahu anhu did not want to give the land to them for another reason. Namely, he felt it was no longer necessary to give people wealth in order to soften their hearts towards Islam. Indeed, in one report, Umar radiallahu anhu said to both them, verily the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek to appease you at a time when Islam was weak. But now, Allah the Possessor of Mighty and Majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has strengthened Islam. We no longer need to appease you. Thus now go and struggle and work hard to earn your living. This is in Bukhari in his Tariq al-Saghir 1-81. So he explained, because I know how the Prophet treated you. He'd give you wealth. He gave them so much wealth because they were weak. And that was his policy. In fact, one of the companions, he got nothing. And he thought, I'm going to ask the Prophet about this. But then he didn't. Later on, the Prophet said about that Sahaba, I give to others because they are weak. But I don't give to, and he mentioned the Sahaba's name, because he doesn't need it. He goes, he has got firm iman. And then the Sahaba was so happy. He goes, the Prophet mentioned me, he was praised. So now Umar said to those two men, he goes, that time is finished. Islam is now strong. Go and work for the living. Indeed, this category are also entitled to the obligatory zakat. So now Uyayna ibn Hisam, so look at these incidents. He's mentioned, this is the person who joined Tariqa. You understand? Our pastor is. But alhamdulillah, he did come back into the fold of Islam. Is there another famous hadith where he's mentioned? Yes. In Sahih Bukhari, number 7286, in the chapter on holding fast to the Quran and Sunnah, Bayhaqi ibn Abi Hatim ibn al-Mundhir ibn Mardaway ibn Jarir ibn Kathir, Ganzul Umal, volume 4, page 416, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 78 of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates. Uyayna ibn Hisn ibn Hudayfa ibn Badr, the same man, once came and stayed in Al-Madinah with his nephew Al-Hur ibn Qais ibn Hisn, rahmatullah alayh, who was one of those whom Umar used to keep near to him, radiyallahu. The Qurra, I those were memorized and were learned with the holy book, were indeed the people of Umar's meetings and his advisors, whether they were old or young. So, let's explain. So, Uyayna wants to see Umar. It's Umar's Khilafat, radiyallahu. And he goes to his nephew, whose name is Hur, Al-Hur. He was a Qari, and he was very close to Umar. Umar kept these people very close. He says, can you go and see? Get me an audience with Umar. Said to his nephew, oh my nephew, do you have an approach to the Amir al-Mu'mineen? Get me permission to see. The nephew said, I will certainly get the permission for you to see him, O uncle. Thus he took the permission for Uyayna, i.e. his uncle. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, my uncle Uyayna wants permission to have an audience with you. So he goes, fine, let him come. Subhanallah, on arrival, Uyayna said, O son of Khattab, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, You neither give us sufficient provision, nor do you judge amongst us with justice. On hearing this, Umar was infuriated, and he got up to strike him. The nephew Al-Hur, quickly, in order to save his uncle, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, has not Allah the Almighty sent to his messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he recited Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 199. A'udhu billahi minash خُذِ الْأَفْوَ وَعْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَعَعَدِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ Show forgiveness, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the ignorant. Al-Hur said, this person is amongst the ignorant, my uncle. Abdullah ibn Abbas added, رَضِيَ by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ did not overlook that verse when Al-Hur recited it before him. For Umar radiallahu anhu used to observe the book of Allah very strictly. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So again, another person. Your blood suddenly becomes a person you know. Or Yahya ibn Hisham. He still got pride. Imagine you thinking, you know, like, Tulayha, mashallah, it seems that he turned over a new leaf. It seems that it took some while for this man to eradicate pride because he was a chief. However, not now. He's in the fall of Islam. So look how interesting, his nephew is a qari. And his nephew thought, what's my uncle doing? And you could see, now why did he say that to Hazrat Umar? He goes, you neither give us sufficient provision, nor do you judge amongst us with justice. He basically wanted to like belittle him in front of the people. So Umar is going to give him a few cracks, but then Al-Hur protected him. And the verse, which is fascinating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Khudil af. You can forgive and forget. Very hard to do. Forgive and forget. وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ enjoin the good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ turn away from the ignorant. Then Hur said, he's ignorant. I wish nephew would call his uncle ignorant. We had to do that to save him. And then Umar immediately stopped in his tracks. Imagine. That is what would take the anger of Umar away. The glorious Quran. So just to add, who's the other person? Al-Aqra ibn Habis, the other one who wanted that land and Umar spat on it. Again, I'm going to quote the hadith, you're going to think, oh, was it him? In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan was with him, his beloved grandson. He kissed him. Al-Aqra ibn Habis saw it. He goes, I've got 10 sons, I never kissed one of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what can I do if Allah has taken mercy out of your heart? What can I do if Allah has taken mercy out of your heart? Now you know who that person is, mashallah. So note these people, you hear it, but try to have a connection with these people. But don't forget, they did become Muslims again. And you mentioned another one from memory. And again you'll say, oh, is he? Yes. So this hadith is in Ibn Majah, Sahih Hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with six sahaba. Who were they? Abdullah ibn Masud, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Umar ibn Yasir, and Bilal, and a few of this, radiyallahu ta'ala. And who came to him? Uyayna ibn Hisn and Al-Aqra ibn Habis. These two men. And what did they say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We want to talk to you, but we find it below our dignity to sit with these poor people. Tell them to go away, and then we'll sit with you, and then you can sit with them afterwards. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he was thinking, obviously, they will understand. If I talk with them, maybe they'll see sense, they'll become Muslims. He was thinking this. Allah Ta'ala revealed the passage. Never turn away those who call upon you, their Lord morning and evening. Passages of the Quran were revealed. Note again, these personalities. And when they finally came in the year of delegations to embrace Islam, the Prophet was still giving them wealth. Why? Because he knew that it's not in their hearts yet. And what did Uyayna himself say? When the children were poking him, he goes, you should be ashamed of yourself. I never left anything. Nothing was in my heart in the first place. And that seems to be the truth. Why? Because when a person leaves Islam, was he really in Islam? So note, alhamdulillah, these people came back into the fold of Islam. And even the false prophet, Tulayha. The reason I didn't say Rahmatullahi at the end of his name, you would have asked me a million questions. You're talking about a false prophet. And you're saying, may Allah have mercy upon him. So instead of saying that, I thought I'll leave it at the end. But of course, he was blessed with martyrdom, and Umar himself eventually praised him. So all I mentioned today was basically what happened against the second most dangerous false prophet, Dulayha, rahmatullah alayhi, and the situation that occurred and the main personalities that are mentioned. And alhamdulillah, all of them, Allah Ta'ala gave them a second chance. Imagine, all of them. Allahu Akbar. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر صدق الله العظيم